From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has arrived in Mosul and congratulated Iraq's armed forces for their near victory over Islamic State following nearly 9 months of urban combat. Mr. Abadi said Islamic State defenders are being eradicated. He said most have been killed, only a small number are left. Soon victory will be announced. Even though fighting continues in small areas of western Mosul, Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it's right to proclaim victory.
The last, what we would call in military terms, organized resistance was destroyed over the weekend. I'm sure there are still individual ISIS soldiers floating around in Mosul or close to it. Certainly there are stay-behind people and essentially folks who are going to do terrorist things. But all in all, Mosul has been liberated.
He said the IS group controls two smaller Iraqi cities and has the ability to launch attacks, but its hold on the population, its claim of being a state entity in Iraq, is over. In Syria, a U.S.-Russia-Jordanian-brokered ceasefire appears to be generally holding in the country's south and southwest. Trinity University Syria analyst David Lesh said the deal is a small diplomatic triumph for Washington and Moscow following last week's G20 summit.
It's relatively easy to agree on de-escalation in parts of Syria that do not have to do with the Islamic State. That's something that both the United States and Russia are keen to do.
The so-called de-escalation agreement comes as the latest round of Geneva peace talks gets underway Monday. South Sudan Sunday marked its sixth year of independence with no official celebration as it grapples with civil war, mass displacement, accusations of war crimes, and famine. This is VOA News. President Donald Trump, in a tweet late Sunday, said the fact that he and Russian President Vladimir Putin at last week's G20 meeting discussed a joint U.S.-Russia cybersecurity unit doesn't mean he thinks it can happen. Earlier, Mr. Trump said it's time to work constructively with Moscow. He and Mr. Putin discussed forming an impenetrable cybersecurity unit to protect against negative things like election hacking. U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley on U.S. television said Mr. Trump was simply letting his Russian counterpart know that he's aware of Russian meddling in last year's U.S. election.
You had two men walk into the room. You had two men who knew the exact same thing, which is Russia did meddle in the elections. I think President Trump wanted to make sure that President Putin was aware that he was acknowledging it, that he knew it. I think President Putin did what we all expected him to do, which was deny it. And I think that is what it is. President Trump still knows that they meddled. President Putin knows that they meddled, but he is never going to admit to it. And that's all that happened.
Meanwhile, the Washington Post reports hackers who penetrated the business networks of U.S. energy and nuclear companies in recent weeks were working for the Russian government. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was in Turkey Sunday speaking with Turkish officials on a range of issues. At an oil conference in Istanbul, he praised those who stood against last year's failed coup. Earlier, he was in Ukraine and called on Russia to take the first steps to de-escalate violence.
I've been very clear in my discussions with Russian leadership on more than one occasion that it is necessary for Russia to take the first steps to de-escalate the situation in the east part of Ukraine, in particular by respecting the ceasefire, by pulling back the heavy weapons and allowing the OSCE observers to carry out their responsibilities.
He spoke alongside Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, who called the visit a powerful show of support for Kyiv. The head of the Democratic Republic of Congo's Election Commission said Sunday a vote to replace President Joseph Kabila will probably not take place this year. Cordiel Nanga spoke with France TV5 Monde. Mr. Kabila completed two terms as of last December, is constitutionally barred from seeking a third. The opposition said Nanga's comments violate a political agreement that calls for Mr. Kabila to step down following elections this year. An opposition leader called it a declaration of war on the Congolese people. Venezuelan opposition leader Leopoldo Lopez has been released from prison but placed under house arrest after more than 3 years behind bars. His release Sunday coincided with the 100th day Sunday of anti-Evo government protests. Lopez has vowed to return to prison rather than give up his fight to remove socialist President Nicolas Maduro. More than 90 have been killed in street violence since early April. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.